Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, beautiful day in New York. It is the Built for Tough Studio. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, 888-808-1019. You guys have had quite the conversation going on here during the break. Turn your mic on.
Sorry, I was actually talking to them. It's hard for me to believe. They're both telling me they are NARPs. I guess that's a thing.
Non-athletic, regular people.
Right. And I've never been around those people, and I'm trying to convince them.
You're around us every day when you're here.
But that's what they're saying, and I don't want to believe. I feel like they have to have some type of skill set.
No.
And they're both saying no.
No, I would
skill sets, but they don't have to be physical.
Right. I agree with
that. And that's where we are.
And I think more so the lack of interest, more so than untapped potential.
Well, that's what Eddie was saying. He has no interest of doing anything.
Right. He likes to walk his dog.
Yeah. He said he's a great walker, which was...
I believe that. And he's a hiker.
And I go for hikes.
Yeah. Fleek said he had some potential at bowling, but turned it down because he felt like it wasn't really a sport.
Bowling. Yeah. That's well fun. So that's interesting you bring that up, because I had a post yesterday, and I wasn't planning on doing this now, but I think it's very relatable to where we're at. I posted this yesterday. So my son was playing golf with his three friends.
Okay.
So I went to pick him up, and I sat at the 18th hole waiting for them. When I got there, they were on 16. So I saw like three groups come through, and shot after shot after shot was just atrocious. I mean, just everybody's
awful. I can't throw rocks. My game has been horrible.
We all stink.
Yeah.
So I posted this as I was watching these groups come through. Can you think of another sport or hobby like golf where most of us that play are really terrible at it, myself included, yet we spend a fortune to continually play it? That's my question.
Outside of golf, you're
asking. Outside of golf.
Okay.
So I got the top five responses. And when I tell you, it was not hard to tally up, because they were literally there are a couple of other ones, but this was the bulk of the replies. What do you think people came back with?
Oh, man. Pool?
Pool?
Yeah.
No one came back with pool.
Okay. No.
No. Fishing came in fifth. I'll say that.
Okay.
I was surprised how many people actually came in. And keep in mind what we're talking about here, spending money to do it.
Okay,
and
I understand.
A lot of the people that were saying fishing was, maybe fishing's not necessarily all that difficult. It's really expensive to either buy the boat or have the boat. And there might be a lot of times you go out there and there's just nothing happens.
You need a fishing license. You just can't fish everywhere.
Fair enough. So fishing makes sense. Give me another one.
Ooh, let me think. Fleek, you want to help? I'm trying to think.
Along the lines of golf, tennis?
I only had one tennis. So, and the one thing about tennis, not that expensive.
Really? The
racket, and you go get balls and you go find a tennis court. Tennis is a great sport to play on a budget, because once you get the racket, I mean, there are tennis courts everywhere that are... If you want to join a tennis club, that's different.
But you don't need specialized shoes or anything like that. You just pull up.
You need sneakers, you go play, find a friend, and you play tennis.
And you don't need a boat to go fishing, just saying, you know.
I know, that's what the people were saying. The people that were saying fishing were saying it can get very expensive.
Skiing.
Skiing came in number four. Well done. Very expensive, and a lot of people are terrible at it. Okay, that's good. Number four. I need three more from you.
Ooh.
I'm actually surprised you haven't hit on one or two of them so far.
Really?
Yeah. Remember, it's sport or hobby. I threw that in.
Does gambling count?
Yes. Gambling was a big one that I got.
How is gambling a sport?
The hobby.
Oh.
A lot of people like to go to Atlantic City, Vegas, hobby. So that one, I got a lot of those, but not as much as the top two. I don't
want to say racing. Is racing...
Horse racing?
Yeah.
Well, I think that kind of falls. I mean, I kind of put that into the whole gambling part.
Gotcha.
Because I think you're still spending money, and a lot of times you lose.
I'm drawing a blank. I'm trying to think. My mind is just not firing right now.
The second most answer that I got was marriage.
Marriage. You ain't lying about that, Jack. 100%.
That was funny. And by far, not even close, the top answer on the board... Richard Dawson. Sex.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing I can't get about that, though, is not everybody's calling prostitutes. What are we talking about? What's the money part of that?
Well, because usually you have to. It has to be some transaction to get the action. You know what I mean? Like there has to. You're either paying for dinner, you're paying for the whole courting.
Like, is that answer tied into dating, whereas the marriage one is for people in relationships?
No, people just wrote sex. Like, that was it.
It doesn't matter if you're married or not. You usually have to do something to get it. And so there has to be some type of transaction.
Okay. I suppose.
I mean, if you're with your wife, you got to go to dinner. Usually you do the dinner, you get the kids out the house, or keep them in the house, however you do it. But there's always something going on. It's always a build up to get something. So
you feel like you pay for sex?
I don't think I pay for sex. I mean, I think we all pay for it. Some form of way. Don't we all?
That could explain a lot about a lot of people if their mentality going into dating and everything is, all right, I got to practice and spend money to get better at sex.
I would like to have sex for this much money.
It is what it is.
No, I know, and I do believe probably a lot of people are terrible at it. I get it.
You put out there golf, and this is where most people's minds
went. This is where their heads went. It went to sex and marriage. And when I say the top two, it is by far the top two answers that I got.
Both expensive.
But marriage isn't supposed to be a hobby.
It's not a hobby. But at the end of the day, to be good at, when you're good at something, you do kind of consider it a hobby.
If you treat marriage like a hobby, you're probably not going to have that much sex.
Or be married very long. That too.
That's a fair point.
That is a fair point. Very fair point. So I thought that one was a very interesting take. But yeah, so those are the things. It just, when I was watching it yesterday, I'm just like, man. And the guy's got the beautiful bag. Like you see, he's got the nice clubs. The
name
he's
on
dressed
it.
Dressed to the, it looks great. And then he swings.
Killing woodpeckers out there.
You spend money to do this?
Yeah.
And same for me. You have days you go out there, it's like, I am paying to do this. At least Eddie's hikes are free.
That was a couple weeks ago. I played at Black Bear up in New Jersey, and it was a good round. It was a good little ticket to pay. I was absolutely horrible. Like, if I never picked up clubs before, and like halfway through, like, I almost threw my clubs into the bushes. I wanted nothing to do with myself.
Doesn't shock me. Yeah. Whether it was golf or tennis or something off the field, whether it was the Steelers or the Jets or even back in college, was there something that you guys collectively did that you enjoyed, but as a group, just awful?
Bowling.
Really? That was a big thing.
That we would go bowling on Thursday or Friday nights. And so there was a thing in Pittsburgh my rookie year. I was a horrible bowler, didn't even know how to drive. But I would go bowling with the guys, and I was the worst bowler out of the pack. And whoever had the worst score would have to, like, finish all the drinks on the table. And so that wasn't good.
That was every Thursday for you?
It was every other.
Every other? Good.
Yeah. So I struggled with that. And then, you know, didn't end well. So,
I can imagine not.
Rough night.
And that was the offensive lineman?
Yeah, it was kind of a lineman thing we would do.
So that's a very real thing, the whole getting together outside of work.
It's important. I think it's everything. What's wild when you hear so many guys or offensive units that don't do it, when the blueprint for a good offensive line is the guys being able to have an identity and relationship off the field because it translates on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear guys don't hang out with each other, and sometimes you don't realize it's because of the city. Like, one of the things, if you're playing a big market city or a big city like New York, it's tough to get together. We were kind of talking about that.
That's like our show, yeah.
About the show.
Yeah.
But being, because Pittsburgh is a small city, all we had was each other, so it made us closer. So, but I tell everybody, man, especially when I talk to young linemen, stay around each other, vacation with each other, hang out with each other.
But then how hard is that to do when you've got, especially this day and age of free agency, and you've got, you know, guys coming and going left and right, you're drafting guys every year, and you don't have... I'm not saying for 10 years, but I would think you would want to have at least four or five guys together for three, four, to kind of build something. It's got to be very difficult if you come into, you know, mini camp and you're looking at three new faces every year.
Yeah, but it is difficult. But I think a lot of times good offensive lines usually kind of, they're keeping them together somehow, some way. And that's what's so great about this Jets offensive line. They're all really young.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, between Olu and Mindu and Tippmann, I think, is in year two or three. Vera Tucker's in year three or four. Simpson's probably the oldest. He's the left guard. He's the oldest out of all of them. But they still have a core young offensive line. Those guys should be able to play together for the next 4 or 5 years.
You would hope so.
We would hope so, barring there's no significant injury. But that's what drives teams. You know what I mean? Like, I've told this. I was speaking to the Steelers offensive line. I was like, you know, the job of an offensive unit is to stop momentum and build momentum. And there's a certain level of consistency you need to be that type of outfit. And, you know, and good offensive lines do it. You know, and that the old Dallas offensive line, I mean, they give up a big score. They were going down and get another score. Yep. If they needed to go in tank formation and end the game, they had the ability to do that. So those were good offensive lines are able to do.
NFL Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus. All season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. It's before we break, that's the one thing when we talk about the money and the way money's designated to a football team in the NFL. Again, fully acknowledging if you don't have the quarterback, you're not going to win. Mm. I get it. But I also know if you don't got those five guys up front, the quarterback does not matter. It's the same exact reason the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. You don't give Brady time to throw, who's not going to beat you?
No
question. Tom Brady.
Yep. Look at that's exactly why I'm puzzled by Joe Burrow. Like, they keep putting bad people in front of him, and he keeps getting dinged. Doesn't matter how great he is. And
injury prone or put in that position?
I think it's both.
Yeah. Probably is partly both. John in West Haven. What's up, John?
Hey, how are you guys this morning?
Good, how you doing?
Good, thank you. I just wanted to comment on your golf poll, Jerry.
Yeah.
So I think it's hysterically funny that the top two things on the poll were sex and marriage, because as someone who worked at a golf club for 10 years, golf is absolutely attached to the avoidance of a relationship.
He ain't lying.
You might be right. You're probably right. I do see, though, I will say, I see a lot of couples that play golf now, especially in their older years.
I agree
years,
with that.
And I think it's great.
I told you, I saw Beningo and his wife
all the time. They play all the time. And yeah. In that case, it can help a relationship.
It can. Unfortunately, the guys I play with, they don't want their wives next to them.
Well, that's fine, too. I'm not saying it can't be an escape. The same way I would think a spa or a woman that likes to play tennis with her friends is not an escape for them.
Bridge.
It can be both.
Yeah.
It can be both.
I gotcha.
But that was actually a funny response.
It's Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The Boomer and Geo Podcast from WFAN.
And nice to have you with us, Bill Fortub Studio. It is Willie and Jerry in for the guys. Hey, the biggest indoor pickleball event is coming back October 10th and 11th, and it will sell out. Sign up for the fun or for the cash prizes. Go to 1010wins.com/pickleball for all the info. The pickleball tournament is presented by Nissan. At Nissan, we make cars that thrill. Experience the thrill for yourself today. Shop NissanUSA.com. By the way, TV is heading to the FIVB Volleyball World's Women's Championship in a little bit. So that's coming up in a couple of minutes right here on CBS Sports Network. We will continue on the Fan. Of course, USA is playing in that game. So USA, let's go USA. The pickleball thing is fascinating to me.
They're everywhere.
From the standpoint of I'm a tennis guy. I like tennis. I enjoy playing tennis. I like watching tennis. The few times I played pickleball when it first came out, I liked it. But it wasn't anything that I thought I would stick with, and it has exploded.
But that's something I won't try.
You were not interested?
No, because too many people are getting hurt.
A lot of people do get hurt.
Too many old folks are popping Achilles and hurting hips and knees, and I'm just like, I've done enough.
Hamstrings and quads and all
sorts. At this point in my life, I'm about to rebuild.
But you want to stretch those legs out?
Yeah, I just want to be mobile and be able to kind of jump into crime fighting when I need to.
What about the cornhole?
Well, Fleek said he's the best one out of everybody here, so I'm gonna battle Fleek first before
you. You think you're good at it? Really?
That's not what I said, but yeah, I'm solid enough. Like, I don't embarrass myself in the backyard.
Every time I lift you up and put you on a pedestal, you knock your own.
Because I'm not
down.
Used to that, Willie.
Are you?
I'm not used to that kind of love and support.
Are you in a friend good, or you're just good as a solo?
No, just single. Like we alternate, you know, whoever's there in the backyard. So, like, don't have a
sex. I would love to invite you to my league to see if you can stack up against some of the better teams or if you're going to be done in 6 minutes. I've owned a league for 8 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fleeks, this is your shot. When God sends you a boat, get on a damn boat, Fleeks.
Like, could you compete with the good teams in my league? That's what I'm wondering.
I mean, we'll see. I don't know how good the teams are. I mean, I would definitely need a teammate.
How good are you?
I don't know. Like again, I don't embarrass myself in the backyard when we're just hanging out having fun.
Willie looks disgusted right now.
Where's the, like, I don't get it. Where's the confidence?
Narps.
who's your daddy? What does he do?
Listen, confidence. Like, if we're taking a math test, I'm so
all right. But we're not out here with algebra book. We're talking about cornhole, and I'm trying to promote you like you're the next thing since sliced bread, and you're like, no, that's not
I
me.
I feel so much better in that algebra competition.
All right, you've been disinvited. Sports Network, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Andrew Bogish, good morning. Nice to see you again, sir.
Guys, good morning again. It is cut down day, as we know, in the NFL. The Giants and Jets have plenty of moves to make before the 4 o'clock deadline. This one of the expected ones from the Giants, according to reports this morning. Tommy DeVito is being waived.
This is stupid.
With cheese.
What wow. happens to his agent and the fedora and the suit?
Well, he's got to get him another job. He's going to get another
he's
job.
He's going to get picked up.
I mean, I would be stunned if he's available very long.
He'll be a Raider.
Well, they got Kenny Pickett yesterday.
Yeah.
They still need more.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe okay.
Kenny Pickett's coming off a hamstring.
How good did the Jets feel about Tyrod Taylor's health?
Wasn't Mike White released too somewhere?
He was by the Bills.
Yeah. So he's available. Then you can play that song for him too, because Jet fans love Mike White.
I did. I loved him. I was on the bandwagon. And then I watched him play.
What was the whole thing when they wore the shirts?
I think they were just tired of Zach Wilson. I mean, I'm being honest. Really? They were just tired of
him. And they did that right in front of him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Place yeah, there's no
do we think the Dolphins
it.
Are already sick of Zach Wilson as their backup?
Tough place. Nah, they haven't seen him play yet.
No, they have.
Nah, yeah, they haven't. Well, they got two out there getting hurt every 3 minutes. They
that's
haven't
why.
Seen Zach.
That's why they've seen enough. They Maybe. Keep throwing two out there. That's the best shot they got.
Wow.
Well, unlike Willie and Yoga, Aaron Rodgers actually tried being a Jet. It did not go well, as we know, and will be reminded of when Rodgers and the Steelers come to Jersey in week one. Jerry, you've already mentioned this morning, Rodgers sat down this week with Adam Schein on SiriusXM. Here's the longer clip of his message for Jets fans.
I really embraced my time there and put as much of myself into it as I possibly could, and I really wanted to win there. I really did. And I have a lot of appreciation for the special moments. There weren't a ton of them, but, you know, one of the coolest moments, unfortunately, four plays later was all taken away. But running down that field, it was a special night. And even though it ended very shortly thereafter, that'll always be a kind of a special snapshot.
Has anyone said?
Well said.
Yeah, but it's so weirdly unemotional.
Well, that's him. But you know
that's,
what? Though?
That's kind of him.
No, I know.
Even when he came on with Boomer and Gio, the first training camp, and I know he was late getting there and had traffic. I understand that. But even that, with all the pomp and circumstance and the excitement around the team, that was him in
yeah.
August.
Yeah.
So I, you know, he's not with even with McAfee. He's very, very like
that's how he talks.
Low volume.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
That said, I am with Andrew. I listen to that, and I can think of Schein yelling at his producer, can someone wake this guy up? Because it does sound like he's laying in his bed just kind of, you know, having a conversation.
I'm also interested, outside of that Monday night, him running out the tunnel on Monday Night Football with the flag and how big that moment was for the Jets in New York, period, and everything that was, you know, was supposed to mean for that team. What's the second biggest moment for him?
I would think.
I can't think
not winning the Super Bowl?
No, I mean, in reference to being as a Jet.
Oh, being with the Jet. I'm sorry.
Like he said, there's not a lot.
Jacksonville? That was a hell of a game he and Davante Adams had together.
Yep.
Because you're right, there's not many of them.
I can't think of any outside of that moment. Like, I don't know if there's a standard moment where we're like, man, oh, that was a great day for Aaron Rodgers. Like, I can't think of
just Jacksonville. That would be, that might be it.
Wow.
Might be. Maybe the last touchdown pass he threw.
Sure.
Kind of from realizing, well, then again, how special is that? You know you're on your way out. I don't know.
Good question. I don't know.
I think we're getting the full chat, by the way, from these two later today, so there might be even more to dissect.
This was
from
a teaser?
Yeah, I think the tweets from Schein and Mad Dog Radio said, sat down with Rodgers for tomorrow's show. They released this one and a clip about expectations for the Steelers this year.
Got
so
it.
I don't think we've gotten the full experience just yet.
All right.
You guys just mentioned this, the Browns adding even more intrigue to their quarterback drama yesterday. Kenny Pickett traded to Vegas at a fifth-round pick coming back. And, of course, this opens up a path for Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel to back up Joe Flacco. The Raiders need a backup for Geno Smith because Aiden O'Connell broke his wrist during their preseason finale and could miss 2 months. But this is now the third time Kenny Pickett has been traded in four NFL seasons. Less than that, maybe?
I think less than that, yeah. I mean, he got hurt. He got hurt with the Browns, had a hamstring issue, and I never believed the Browns were going to keep four quarterbacks. I just didn't see that happening. It was just a matter of which one had to go, and unfortunately, it's Kenny Pickett. So, I mean, he'll be fine. Like, it is what it is. Like, he'll move on, and hopefully he has a good career in Vegas.
Back to the Giants real quick. They unveiled their uniform schedule yesterday, guys. Their legacy ensemble, the navy blue jerseys, Giants, and block letters on the helmet. That's coming out November 2nd against the Niners, December 14th against the Commanders. Their white color rush uni is back. The old navy helmets for those as well. They'll wear those back-to-back weeks against the Bears and Packers, weeks 10 and 11. Otherwise, the usual blue or white jersey.
Yeah.
That's an Al story. He loves a good uniform.
Did you ever think a uniform that you wore was ugly?
I liked every uniform I wore. I don't know if I looked the best in it.
What about the bumblebee?
I was fine with that. People hated those things. I had my bumblebee jersey. I liked it. People thought it was ugly. And I think the Steelers are throwing, I think the 1933 jersey, the one that looks like a yield sign,
yeah,
like the black, that's coming. The Steelers aren't wearing that this year. Yeah. I'm okay with it. I think jerseys, though.
Sell.
Yeah, it's overhyped. People get too worked up about it.
I agree.
It was Hamilton night in the Bronx last night. Feel free to come up with your own historical and or Broadway reference for this swing from Ben Rice.
There's Rice, drives one deep right field. That's got a lot of carry. Say goodbye. Way up into the bleacher creatures. 2-0 Yankees on Ben Rice's 21st home run and 48th RBI.
435 feet to right center for Rice on that one. Jazz Chisholm, Jason Dominguez also went yard as the Yanks built a 10-0 lead on the Nats. Washington scored 5 in the ninth off De Los Santos and Leiter Jr. to make the final score a little less one-sided. Maybe Aaron Boone was a little annoyed with his bullpen, but not with his starter, Cam Schlittler.
He's good. I mean, he's good.
Six innings.
Yeah, he's good.
No runs.
Sometimes that's all you need.
I agree.
You don't have to kind of pepper.
Sometimes nothing else needs to be said.
Exactly.
The kid can pitch.
Yep.
That's it. And you know what you see with him? He does throw hard. But I also, when I watch him, I feel like he's pitching. And he's not just trying to throw the ball through a brick wall.
Right, like how Syndergaard and those guys used to do.
A lot of guys. Yeah. There's a lot of guys in Major League Baseball that just rear back and try and throw at 105 miles an hour.
Yeah, some of these guys pitch like they're trying to put the ball through the catcher's like face.
Exactly.
Like, just rip it.
Go pitch. That's what it looks like he does.
8Ks last night. The scoreless streak is now 14 1/3. Did you guys see this broadcast a lot last night with all the Hamilton-themed graphics and stuff?
No, I was more focused on the Mets.
I saw the Chisholm one. The homery hit, they had the whole backdrop and the stars and all that other stuff.
Yeah, and then when they did the lineups, I guess they superimposed like revolutionary era clothes on the guys.
That's
I don't
fun.
Know, they made them put on
that's cool.
Blouses and whatnot, but they went all out.
Pretty neat.
The Blue Jays beat the Twins. The Red Sox won in Baltimore last night, so the Yankees stay put in the AL East. Nothing changed either in the wild card standings since the Mariners beat the Padres.
And the 3-2 on the win to Cal. Swing and a well-hit ball. Deep to left field. Head into the upper deck. Stay fair. Upper deck. Goodbye, baseball. Number 50 for Cal Raleigh. He becomes one of only 33 members of the 50 home run club.
33rd
That's cool.
member of that club. Only the 8th player to get to 50 in August. And just the 2nd switch hitter ever to hit 50. The other one is Mickey Mantle.
Yeah. That's cool. Hey, good for him. He's got a real chance to get to 60. And actually, he's on pace to go beyond 60.
Yeah.
So he's had a hell of a season. He's continued it. We're not following him every day. But it doesn't seem like he's had too many dips of big dry spells and slumps. I mean, he's pretty damn productive.
I think he had a small one earlier this month. Just a tiny little longer gap between home runs than he had been. But nothing extended. His batting average is not great, period. But
that's baseball today.
Yeah, the home runs, he ran the bases well, surprisingly, when the Mets were dealing with him. And obviously, he's a elite defensive catcher, too.
Not bad at all.
Speaking of those Mets, Luis Torrens went deep twice, drove in 5, a pair of RBI doubles from the scorching Mark Vientos, and 15 outs from the bullpen. They spotted the Phillies 3, then took their opener in Queens 13-3. Carlos Mendoza's team now 6 games back in the division.
Well, we put ourselves in this position, We've been inconsistent. But also understanding that, we got few games here, and we can look too far ahead. I think the mentality is going to continue to be one day at a time. You know, we got a job to do, and we got to continue to win games. We got to continue to win series.
And so the interesting thing is when you look at now tonight, they used – the bullpen was great.
Yeah.
But now you've got another starter coming up tonight in Sean Manaea who doesn't seem to be able to get through the fourth or fifth inning. Are you going to need another 12 to 15 outs from the bullpen? Now, when I look at last night, I mean, apparently if you throw 15 pitches, you can't pitch the next day. But, I mean, Diaz is obviously good to go.
Yeah.
But what are you doing in the middle innings? I mean, Castillo did nothing. He can pitch again.
Yeah, Soto but can pitch.
You got Raley, Helsley, Rogers. They all threw, you know. I mean, it's you're taxing your bullpen every time you get these short starts from your starters. It's not a good recipe for success.
No, especially because they were pulling guys unnecessarily early, in my estimation, at the beginning of the year. We all talked about that. And now they're doing it because they have to. So that's been a year-long thing. Now, the benefit of Rodgers is they'll pitch him on three straight days. So you'd think he's available tonight. Soto's available tonight. Oscar Brazoban's technically available tonight.
Yeah, he's back.
But also, at some point, I think you just have to make these guys... they can't punt games, right? At this point, they can't.
No.
But at some point, you have to make Manaea or Senga pitch through some of these stressful situations.
You do, but here's the thing. Even if you watched, like, Sunday in Atlanta is a very good example of how you want them to do that, but you can't. Peterson had to come out of that game. I mean, he's cruising, and I'm watching that game in the sixth inning saying, this guy, I thought he was going to get to seven or eight. I'm like, get him out. He just lost it.
Right. And Senga had to come out last night, too.
100%.
But if they're in the spot where you're like, it's a 50-50 proposition.
That's different.
I was even surprised that Senga came back out last night inning.
I agree.
And I think Holmes pitched,
how many pitches was he in?
80-something?
I thought he was 93, wasn't it?
That's what he finished at.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
he was at 80-something when he went back out for the inning.
I don't know. It's just the whole thing is, I'm with you. If it's 50-50 and it's only because of a matchup lefty-right, leave them in if they're pitching well. But if the guy loses it, like these guys lose it,
yeah,
it's not so easy to just sit. Because then you sit there, you look like the dope in the dugout that didn't do anything as your guy's falling apart out there. They have to pitch better. That's the answer.
The Mets win 13-3. The Reds lose 7-0 at Dodger Stadium. So the gap between them now 2.5 games in the wild card chase. And big one this weekend, LIU football opening its season by collecting a check from Florida in the swamp, and the Gators confirmed.
LIU is going to Florida?
Yeah. And the Gators will have their stud QB, DJ Lagway, who's a Heisman candidate, might be the number one pick whenever draft he's coming out in. He's been battling a calf injury for the last little bit, but he's back to a full practice.
I'm not even joking.
And he'll play.
At some point, you have to worry about your team.
Like, their health, their safety.
Something. Like, it's brutal to send those guys out there. Like, Florida is projected to do really well this season.
Yeah.
And they're going against
yeah.
Like, it's...
But LIU is going to get a check from this game that will be a large portion of their budget.
I totally understand. Is a check worth not having a team when you fly back?
This isn't basketball.
No, I know.
Exactly. Good. Thank you, Jerry. Like, this is...
I mean, I've seen some of those games, and they're not pretty to watch. And
no.
I mean at a lower level. When, like, an Ivy League school
sometimes
back in the day...
Sometimes the first unit doesn't finish the... Like, they don't finish the game and get so bad. For a lot of these games.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But there has been some talk in the last week or so because the SEC is now going to a 9-game conference schedule and forcing a non-conference Power 4 game that these teams are running out of openings in their schedule.
I'm sure.
To play these FCS teams. So these games might go away. But again, the FCS teams need the money. So that's going to hurt them if the big boys don't want to beat up on them for
a weekend. I got news for you, too. For all those people that kill Rutgers for playing those soft non-conference games, I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yep.
Florida's playing LIU.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Holy God. I don't mean that. No disrespect to LIU. That's not the level they play
at. No, right.
What are they? Sharks? LIU Sharks?
The Sharks, yeah. That's the rebrand.
But they were
name.
The Blackbirds.
When they combined what used to be CW Post and LIU Brooklyn, now they're just LIU, and they're... Maybe basketball stayed what they were, but everything else is the Sharks.
The Sharks, okay.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 8:52. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan. Couple of things real quick. Before we get back to a couple of things that we're going to discuss. Number one, if you're just joining us, Tommy DeVito waived by the Giants today. Not a surprise, given the fact they've got three other quarterbacks. He will be picked up somewhere, so we will obviously keep you up to date on that. Also, selfishly, a little bit of an appearance tomorrow. Sal Licata will be at the Salt Shack in Babylon doing the midday show from 10 to 12:30 tomorrow before Yankees baseball. He's going there for a Surfside event that I will then join him at 12:30. So go check out Sal. It is open to the public.
Sal.
It's good old Sal, yeah. Surf Shack in Babylon. There is a rumor, it's just a rumor, that me and Sal will be a two-man volleyball team.
Oh.
Taking on the champions of this volleyball tournament. It's a rumor. It's a possibility. I'm not saying it is. Here's what I would tell you.
Are you open to it?
No one wants to see that.
You don't want to see it.
I mean, I would do it.
You would do it.
But, you know, I mean, I'm going there to support the event, sure. Drink some Surfsides, and have a good time.
Oh.
But Sal, 10 to 12:30, you can go watch the show tomorrow right here on The Fan, and I will join him after me and you are done. I'll head out there. So Andrew played the Cal Raleigh home run.
Yes.
Number 50. Amazing season. Now, some people will sit there and say, you know, this come out of nowhere. Not really. I mean, if you look at Cal Raleigh his last couple of years, he had, I think, 30-something home runs last year, drove in 100 runs. Had a really good season, but 50, which could turn into 60 home runs this year and could be 135 RBIs, is another level compared to last year. Now, you can take it a couple of ways. One, it's just a good year. Two, it's a building block. Like, you know, what he did 2 years ago and then last year was building towards this.
Mm-hmm.
Or three, this is what he's going to be. I don't know. But it's been pretty cool to watch from afar. So then you think about some of the other crazy seasons in sports, all right? This is a good time to do this real quick. I think everybody would say Brady Anderson and the 50 home runs with the Orioles that 1 year came out of nowhere. And I'm not comparing these to Cal Raleigh because, again, he's been really good.
Yep.
But I think 35 to 60 would be pretty wild. So Brady Anderson had the 50 in 1996. Everybody always wondered about that. Kevin Mitchell, I don't remember this. Kevin Mitchell in 1989 had 47 home runs and 125 RBIs. Then when you take it to a couple of other sports, how about Peyton Hillis in 2010, 1,650 combined yards for the Broncos and 13 touchdowns.
Yep.
And that was like...
He went on a tear. That's how he ended up on the Madden cover.
But wasn't that like a one-and-done type of deal with him?
No, he had a good stint with the Broncos and Browns.
But to... Okay, but to that level?
He had a bit of a tear. Yeah, I don't think it was... He had a good little run where his name was ringing bells for a while.
And I do remember the Madden cover, so yeah. I totally understand that. Mike is on the air. What's that?
No, Jerry's right. He had a couple of, like, okay seasons where he was a usable player, but outside of that 1 year with the Browns, he never even eclipsed 600 rushing yards.
Yeah, but that was because of injuries. He started getting dinged up pretty good.
Okay, so it was more his playing time got knocked down.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah. So that was his 1 year. Then I'll give you a couple outside the box that I did not realize at all. Jonathan Chichu. Remember him from the San Jose Sharks? I don't know if you watch hockey or not, but he had 56 goals in 05-06. Never had more than 27 in a season.
Mm.
That's pretty stark when you see that change. And then Bernie Nichols, who I was very familiar with, always was a goal scorer. But when Gretzky went to L.A. and they teamed him up, he went to 70 goals. So that's a pretty big stretch as well. The question I would have with Cal Raleigh, he plays a position that's physically demanding.
Yes.
He is a switch hitter, so that does help. Clearly, I would think, I can't expect him to hit 60 home runs again next year. But is Cal Raleigh a...
MVP?
Well, I mean, he's in the conversation, 100%.
Sure. Yeah.
Is he now a 45 to 50 home run guy every year? Like, is he that good? He might be.
He might be.
He might be.
I think I'm interested to see how he fares in the conversation as far as MVP. That's where I'm most interested.
I would think I would have to look at where if I go to one of the sports books to see, I would think he's got to be leading. I mean, maybe not. I mean, Judge for a while was right there, but then he got hurt.
Yep.
And he's been not as good since. He usually takes some time to build back up. Certainly a big September, we'll be thinking about him. You know, Bobby Witt Jr. hasn't had a great season. He was one that people talked about earlier in the season or when the season began. I'd have to look to see who would be in the running, but he has to be right there at the top of the list. I'd be surprised if he wasn't.
I think you made a good point for a guy that's having a tremendous season. For the fans not to show up in droves for him.
Well, it's so funny.
That was like...
So funny.
I thought about it. I was like, Jerry's right. Like, there's not much going on for you. I mean, the manner is a balance. We understand that. But this is the one moment in the sun where the fans should be coming in droves to be support this guy, and you didn't see anybody in the stands, barely anybody.
Someone sent me, I guess we ticked off somebody in Seattle with that comment yesterday.
Oh, really?
Which was kind of a backhanded compliment. I mean, if you remember, we were talking about, you know, they usually draw well when they're playing. Well, yeah. It was surprising to see on a gorgeous Sunday, the stands that we saw in the replay looked relatively empty in the upper deck. Not empty, but there were a lot of seats available, though it was officially 42,000. Yesterday, against the Padres, the official attendance, 27,000. That, to me, is low.
Yeah.
That, to me, is incredibly low. For a team that's 10 games over 500, have played well relatively consistently throughout the course of the season, and you got a guy that's chasing 60 home runs.
Wait, where is he at right now?
50.
50. I mean, he has a chance.
50 with 5 weeks to go in the regular season.
Right, but he also has a chance to break Ken Griffey's record. I think Ken Griffey is at 56, right?
And that's what I know he did a post-game on the field interview, and they were talking about Griffey. I think Griffey's the only other Mariner that had 50 in a year, and so he's going after Griffey.
The hell with Griffey. He's going after Judge's AL record.
Maybe. Possibly, but before I'm going to entertain that, you got to get to 60. Yeah, just, you know, there's still a few more to go.
But the fact that 60 is not out of the question, right? And it's like, if you're a Mariners fan, like, you should be flooding to see this guy break history.
And by the way, playing a really good team in the Padres, that's star-studded.
Yeah.
And so, I just checked. So every major book right now, FanDuel, DraftKings, MGM, Caesars, they all still have Aaron Judge's favorite to win MVP.
Favorite?
Cal Raleigh's second.
Really?
Right now?
In the
now,
minus 155 to 165 range. Raleigh's anywhere from even money to plus 125.
And to me, that, like, 4 weeks ago makes total sense. The way the last month has gone for Judge, though, with the injury and then the down production, that's surprising
to
me.
And the teams have almost identical records.
That, too. Yeah.
Very interesting. But they're only a game ahead of the Mariners, right?
No, I get that. Yeah. I understand that. But consistent 50 home runs and Judge over, again, because of the last 5 weeks is why I would flip them. But that is interesting.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.